I tell him to his face, he a diva.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not saying it as I dislike him or nothing like that, but
no.
Quarterbacks are divas. I just get tired of when people try to make it seem as though they're just the perfect model citizen at the position. In other positions, or
I don't think anybody said that about Aaron Rodgers ever.
No, but they, as a whole, at that spot, when you see QB, they're held to a different standard.
Yeah, QB equals CEO. That's why Jameis Winston is trying to change a little bit of how he appears media wise and stuff. You could see he's changing the cadence of the way he speaks.
It's so, gosh.
You know, it drives me nuts. Yeah, because you're about just be yourself, right?
Yeah, just be you, man.
But there is something, though, to be said about how, like, that's become a thing more than ever.
What's that?
How you portray yourself, what you put out there for the world to see.
I think you be genuine, you be who you are, you be successful.
Coaches. Well, he's been successful.
Like coaches that have this, carry this facade and not real about, that's why they always struggle. They always struggle.
Yeah.
Because they're being something that they're not. Now.
And players see right through that.
Oh, you see right through it. Mm-hmm. You see right through it.
So, Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, by the way, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn with Key. And we are talking about Aaron Rodgers. And it's no surprise he won't play a preseason game, right?
Why would I?
Only three. There's no. Right?
I don't need him. Exactly. Playing. I don't need him to even dress.
So, they're calling it in Green Bay the Summer of Love. Because Aaron Rodgers and the franchise are trying to kind of reconnect again and trying to fall back in love with each other, which is nice, but also because of Jordan Love. And Jordan Love, if Aaron Rodgers is not going to play, you know he's going to get pretty much the bulk of the snaps for three preseason games, and we might not see him again. So it's very important for the Packers to see what they have in Jordan Love, because there's a lot of uncertainty about what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers after this season. Here's Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers, talking about Jordan Love and things that he can learn from playing in the preseason.
Well, it's certainly great work for him. I think just we get to see how he responds on, with everybody watching him. And, he's done a lot of great things, but just like most young players, he's got to be more consistent and make sure that he's giving forth the necessary effort on every play. But he's a guy that's really talented, and I think he's come a long way in a short period of time, but it's going to be exciting to get him to go see him in live action.
And this is going to be pretty much the dress rehearsal for him as far as, okay, if Aaron Rodgers decides to leave after the season, which the organization has kind of set that up now, right? They have set it up when the agreement of him coming back, the way they restructured his contract is, when the season's over, if you want to go, we'll facilitate. We'll work on it. He's free to go. They don't want him to go, and maybe he won't. Maybe by the end of the season, Aaron Rodgers is like, you know what? I'm happy again. I'm good. I'll retire a Packer. But it might not happen. So if you're the Packers, these three games, you need to know what you got. Otherwise, you're going to be in the market for a quarterback. So, Key, with this in mind.
But you need
to. All right, let me ask the question. With this in mind, would Jordan Love be – would this be the most important – like, if any player in the NFL right now, this preseason is the most important to him?
I think it's the most important to any franchise, as well as Jordan Love. But it's not even about Aaron Rodgers leaving, right? Whether Aaron Rodgers leaves or not, they need to know what they have at the number two spot, because Aaron Rodgers has missed time in the past due to injury.
Mm-hmm.
And when he has missed time, you saw the backups. Kaiser and Huntley.
Yes.
And they don't need that to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
They need to find out what they have at the number two spot, because right now they don't know.
Is Blake Bortles still
there? Let's not even talk about the future. They've got to know what they got as a backup right now.
Good point.
And I think a lot of people are missing that when they're talking about the Summer of Love and all of those other things in the future. No, we need to know what he is, just in case Aaron Rodgers misses some time, mm-hmm. because he's missed time in the past. And so it will give them an indicator of what they have based on what he's done in the offseason when Aaron Rodgers has missed time, what he will do in the preseason, and they will feel comfortable about that. They'll be able to say to themselves, okay, I think if something was to happen to Aaron, we'll be able to survive until Aaron comes back with Jordan Love. Let's not think, because I can't grade 2022 based on three games in the preseason. I can't grade him out and say he's our quarterback for 2022.
Can't you get an idea? You can't get a little bit of an idea?
I can't get none of that. I can't get that. I can't. You cannot project on three preseason games against you at the defensive end and not Von Miller and not a Chubb. Or not, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a different – preseason is different. Frontline guys aren't playing. You know, you don't know.
But at least it's live action. You're going to get hit. Like, at least it's – no, it doesn't matter.
When I played in preseason and some of them dudes was out there, I knew exactly what was getting ready to happen to them in a couple weeks. They was getting ready to go back to college and finish their degrees because they were not going to make that team. You know these things as a staff and a coaching staff. You just want to see the progress that the young player can make so you could be able to grade him and say, okay, if we got into a situation where he had to play, will we be okay until Aaron Rodgers gets back? You can then come out of that and into the offseason and give a whole offseason again and go into the training camp if Aaron Rodgers leaves and have a better sense of he could be our starter based on all of that collectively put together, but not three preseason games.
So regardless of what he does in the preseason, if Aaron Rodgers walks away in February, they can't say, all right, Jordan Love's our guy. We're pretty confident in that. They can't say that?
They would probably still have some reservation, but they probably would have to go that way based on where they selected him at in his growth from year one into year two, going into year three.
What about Blake Bortles? I know that sounds crazy, but he is at least the guy. I know you just everybody on radio should see that Key just made that gas face to me.
That's like mustard and sour lemon juice, and they want you to drink it. I mean, it's like, come on, man.
He at least has experience. I'm not saying to take over for Aaron Rodgers, but you're talking about a backup quarterback capable to play if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt in a pinch.
I mean, you can.
Okay.
You can.
So their quarterback situation is
Blake Bortles was getting ready to beat New England.
Except
they decided, we don't want you to throw the ball at all in the second half.
They didn't trust him.
They didn't trust him.
No, I know.
So I get it. He could be the backup, possibly. But do you really want to do that? Like, do you really want to do
it? Well, that's why for Jordan, that's just what makes this preseason so important for him. Now, I've got another name that, as far as the preseason goes, and by the way, the Packers open the preseason Saturday. They'll play the Houston Texans on Saturday night. But another player, I think, and it's quarterback, of course, that I think this is a huge preseason for, and in fact, when you talk about of importance for him, maybe right behind Jordan Love, is Jalen Hurts with the Eagles.
Yeah, because it's important.
They might say he's our guy, and he already has starter experience from last year, but that doesn't mean that if you're the Eagles and you don't love what you see, and Deshaun Watson is out there,
well, I'm going
to get that doesn't start to become more of an urgency.
I'm going to get Deshaun Watson regardless. I'm going. Do you mean this year?
Yeah, I would put a little more urgency on it.
If I was running the Philadelphia Eagles and Deshaun Watson was available and I could strike a deal with Houston, I'm probably going to really sniff that out. I'm probably going to sniff it out because Deshaun Watson is better than Jalen Hurts right now, and he gives us a better opportunity to win. And I know Deshaun got a lot of other things going on
that he has to deal with,
and I got to deal with that in the front office. I get it, but I probably would look to Deshaun if I can get it.
Curious to see if there's any other names, any other players out there you feel like preseason, this is critical for this player. Usually it's a quarterback. Usually it's a team trying to make a decision on a certain position. But it seems like for Jordan Love, this is really a huge time for him to prove at least something to the Packers because they might have a big decision to make at the end of the season.
It's huge for Matthew Stafford.
What?
Yeah, because being able to – you had a new team. You've got to be able to – adapt to your new surroundings and your new environment and your new teammates. They've got to be able to buy in to what you're selling. All those sort of things.
Well, okay, it's different in a different way. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin coming to you live from Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Green means go. The sky's blue, and this team, once again, number one. As things in sports change, some just stay the same. We'll discuss that next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and on ESPN News.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Welcome back, Alan Hahn, Keyshawn Johnson, and let's bring in Paul Feinbaum.
Uh-oh.
Love talking to Paul. Joins us on
Pally,
the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Guys, it's been too long, and Keyshawn, I'm so glad to see you again. I was wondering if you had taken a job in another continent or something.
Why does everybody is giving me stuff because I took a vacation? That you know, when you work, well,
Keyshawn,
that's what
most
happens.
Most of us work for a living. Maybe we get a Friday off, or around July 4th we get a week off. But, I mean, I put the show on every day, and I think the last time I saw you was Memorial Day, man. So that's the only reason I bring it up. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it.
No, it's all good.
Oh, man, it's true. But, I want to take a vacation from the preseason coaches poll for a minute, though, Paul, because I feel like this, and I'm not a diehard. I am an Alabama fan. I call myself a casual fan, but I do follow college football.
Sure.
But I feel like when the polls come out, it's like, are we reaching a point where it's kind of boring? Like, I told Key, he didn't see it, and I said, name me who you think are in the top five. Just guess. And he nailed four of the five, because four of the five, every year it's these same teams. Yeah. Is it too top-heavy? Do we have a problem here, and is that why we need to expand the college football playoff?
Oh, we have a problem. And, you know, what's interesting about the polls is I as a commentator, didn't even realize they were coming out until I started getting calls from people going, hey, what do you think about the polls? So what they are, they're a wake-up call to people like you, Bart, who like college football but don't have your alarm clock keyed into every flashpoint, practice begins, first poll. But what's really interesting is the polls are even more meaningless than ever, because we have a committee now that does not really pay much attention to what happens in August. Now, it used to be that the first poll mattered. And the best case in point, Keyshawn, if you go back to the 2004 season, Auburn started the season, I think, ranked 24th or something in Oklahoma. And guess who? Southern Cal were ranked 1 and 2 the entire – they started the season that way, and they never lost. So a really good team. Auburn ended up undefeated, but they never could – they couldn't move anybody away, because you're not going to move a team out that started there. That was important. But today, it's completely irrelevant. I was interviewing somebody yesterday who voted, and the answers that he was giving for putting schools at the top was so convoluted. And you start with Alabama. Alabama is number one. I mean, that's just part of Nick Saban's new contract, isn't it? That he has to be either one or two. And interestingly, most of the time Alabama has won the national championship, they have not started number one. Clemson was number one the last couple of years, and they didn't win either time. And so it's something for the networks to use in promoting the first game. I'm not sitting here being critical of that. I mean, if you watch a game and it says 1 versus 3 or 1 versus 2, you're more interested than 2 versus 5, which is really what happened with the much ballyhooed Georgia Clemson game on the first weekend of the season.
All right, Paul, and what we'll do is we'll have some fun with it anyway, and we'll do a little too high, too low, just right with you, as you'll stay with us for a couple of segments here. I hope they let you know you are working double today for us, but we love talking to you.
I Right. I'll stay here till the end of my life.
I will too. So realignment is something that obviously is a huge story when it comes to the Power Five. And what we're seeing is Texas, Oklahoma. Greg Sankey is the SEC commissioner, as of course you know. He's on Freddie and Fitzsimmons. And he talked about realignment. I want you to listen to what he said and then give me your reaction to it.
It'd be nice if everything always stayed as it was, but we know we're in a time of rapid change around college sports. That's our reality. In many ways, that has been our reality. Back to the Pac-12 looking to go to the Pac-16 a decade ago, or the Big Ten adding three members over a period of time in Nebraska, Maryland, and Rutgers, the ACC adding members. And we've done so with Texas A&M and Missouri heading in to their 10th season with us come this fall. So that change happens, and those involved have to evaluate the circumstances that are right and appropriate for them. And what we've tried to do is build something special.
Paul, your thoughts?
Well, I think he's right on many aspects of what he said. Greg Sankey is in an interesting position as the commissioner of the SEC. He is an easy pinata if you're Bob Bowlesby. If you're the president at Washington State, if you're somebody else in college athletics who don't like where this is all going, and I'll get to that in a second. But as best I know, and I feel like I have a handle on it, he took a phone call a couple of weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago, from Oklahoma and Texas. They wanted out of the Big 12. The SEC didn't hire a search firm to go recruit. The SEC didn't say, you know what, let's see if we can – we're already the most powerful – well, we just cut the biggest deal in college football history from a television standpoint. Let's see if we can just destroy the world. I mean, let's go Vladimir Putin on college football and just roll our tanks into every college town and every conference and blow them away. That's not what he did. He took a phone call from Oklahoma and Texas saying, we want out. We don't like where we are. We're going nowhere. And there are a lot of reasons why those two schools didn't like where they were. And he brought them in at some point, whether it's in 4 years or next year or whenever. And he's getting the blame. And I realize he's the most powerful entity in college athletics, so I'm not just like protecting him because I know him and like him and respect him. I'm doing it because that's all he really did. Now, that's one part of the equation here, guys. The other part is, what does this mean for the rest of college football? What it means for the rest of college football is, if you're not one of the big guys, You may as well, you know, take your ball and go home, because you're not going to be part of the equation any longer. Keyshawn and Bart, what we're about to see, now it hasn't happened yet, but it will, is the NFL light. We are going to have somewhere between 32 and maybe 45 schools that are the power brokers, and everyone else is not part of the equation, and they will have a nice football season. You know, going 8-4 or 6-6 and hope to go to a bowl game, but they won't be part of the playoff, whether it's four teams like it is right now or 12 teams, which it eventually will be going to.
Paul, let me ask you this in all seriousness. Why would Oklahoma and Texas look at the SEC and get caught up in that, right, opposed to something like the Pac-12 that's weak, that they could come in and strengthen? Why do the SEC oppose to exploring that opportunity out west?
Well, I think Texas 11 years ago, Keyshawn, really wanted to go to the Pac-12. Now, why did they want to go there? This is going to sound crazy for someone who swims in the waters of intercollegiate athletics, but they wanted to go there because they felt like they belonged with USC and UCLA and Cal Berkeley. They were among the elite, not only in athletics, but in academics. 11 years later, I think they took a good long look at themselves in the mirror and said, yeah, we have a great school down here in Austin, and people like to come and hang out because it's a tech capital, it's a music capital, but we suck in football. And we better figure out a way to make that better, because that's really the engine that feeds this town and the university system. So even though they weren't doing very well in the Pac-12, in the Big 12, they decided they wanted to go someplace where it would be more competitive. I talked to Steve Spurrier the other night, the former Florida coach, and he essentially said, listen, he said, He said, I guess if you're mediocre in the Big 12, you might as well be mediocre in the SEC. He said, it can't be any worse. But I disagree. I think they can get better. I really do. And I know that may sound convoluted, but I think their problem was recruiting. They weren't really attracting the top players, Keyshawn. This year, in recruiting, they lost the best player in the state to Alabama. He's the best lineman in the country. And his father played at Texas. When you can't get a legend, you better figure out you have a problem. And I think young kids growing up in that area said, why do I want to go play at Iowa State? Why do I want to go to West Virginia for my road games when I can go to Auburn and Alabama and LSU and Florida and Georgia? And I just think the SEC is the cool kid right now, and they went for it. And I think it will work because this is now the quintessential super conference. A&M 10 years ago was middling along, and it improved its product. They came in fourth in the country last year, and they've done that by making a smart coaching hire, which in Jimbo Fisher, but also by enhancing their recruiting base.
How will this conference realignment affect my USC Trojans, man? I really want to know.
I don't think USC will be affected very much because they are already a brand name, Keyshawn, for all the times we joke about it. If USC had called the SEC and said, we want in, I have a feeling they would be in the conference too, because there are very few five-star, gold-star brands. You can talk about a million college programs, but if you're sitting around a table and go, okay, if we're playing, if we're drafting, like the NFL draft, and Keyshawn, you have the first pick and the sixth pick, Alabama and Southern Cal are going to be off the board pretty quickly. Oklahoma and Texas are going to be off the board. 25 years ago, Nebraska might have been on that board, but they're not going to get picked very high right now. So if you're a brand name and Southern Cal is one of the biggest brands of all time and still is, even though the program has not been great, they can be great again.
Yeah. Paul, one of the best things, and we have Paul Feinbaum on us with the show, and Paul has the Paul Feinbaum show, and one of the best things about your show is when you take calls. I've said this to you many times. It's just the calls you get are passionate and, let's just say, in a much different category than we're used to anywhere else around the country, and you handle them so well. So we thought, how perfect would it be for us to take a call for you right now so everybody can hear how you interact with your listeners? So here's Dale in North Carolina, and I know you're shocked. He disagrees with you on something. Dale?
Hey, Paul. I totally disagree with you about solving this top-heavy problem with the playoffs. Now all you're going to do is guarantee Alabama, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Ohio State, they're going to get a mulligan. If they lose a game late in the season, they lose their conference playoffs, who's going to vote them
Dale,
out of
Dale,
the top
hold on
12?
Dale,
come
Dale,
on, Paul.
Dale, slow down. Dale, slow down. First of all, you're in North Carolina, correct?
Yeah, and I'm a long-suffering Georgia Bulldog
Dale, I didn't at 7:28 in the morning, I didn't mean to ask you a trick question. I simply asked you, are you in North Carolina?
Yes.
Okay. And you're a fan of which school?
Georgia Bulldogs.
Was Dale
41 years, Paul.
Hey, let me ask you a question. What's that? Did you say 41 years?
41 years of suffering. Go ahead. What's your question?
Okay. For the let me explain something because a lot of times people don't know what we're talking about here. Because in the bubble, thank you, Dale. Really, really good attempt there to make a good call. You failed, but it was a good attempt. In the parlance of college football, guys, what happens? He said 41 years. Now, if you're in New York or LA or Chicago, you don't know what we're talking about right now. But if you're in the bubble of the SEC, 41 years means this. That's the last time Georgia won a national championship. I'll tell you a funny story. A guy told me the other day, Keyshawn, Alex Rodriguez spoke to the Alabama team last Friday night. Saban brings in a big speaker every year, somebody of international. I'm surprised you haven't been down there yet. And Last year was Mike Tyson. This year was A-Rod. He's always bringing somebody new. You know who the speaker has been at the University of Georgia's preseason get-together for the last 41 years? Herschel Walker. What I mean by that is Herschel Walker was the running back in 1980 when they last won the national championship. That's the problem with the Georgia program. They can't get off that 1980 championship, as great as they are. So it's just one of those things. And in the South, and in a show like ours, it's like a soap opera. It's like General Hospital. You have to know the characters. You just can't be driving along and flip us on and think you understand what in the world Dale was talking about there.
That is a tremendous explanation, call and everything else. And you're absolutely right. That's what makes it so compelling, is that you listen to your show and you don't get what's going on, but it's just too damn funny to turn off. But the more you listen, the more you start understanding the storyline, and you just jump right into it. So we have Paul Feinbaum with us for one other segment. He's brought to you by Barbasol 1919 Classic Shaving Cream, a fresh take on the original. This new non-aerosol formula features enhanced ingredients and exceptional glide. Learn more at Barbasol.com. So we'll have more with Paul. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Paul Feinbaum with us for another segment. Yes, it's Call Paul. We took a call. We might get some more. Paul, it was too entertaining. I feel like people want to talk to you. And so we should give them the opportunity while we also talk to you.
Yeah, Bart, what happens on the show? And
I got to stop you, Paul. It's not okay. Bart on with me. Well, it's Alan Hahn. You keep saying Bart.
But Paul's been on my show. It's called Bart and Hahn. And I'm just figuring he probably wasn't sure which of us was.
You know, I, first
he
of all.
Thinks the name of your show is Bart. Your name is Bart Hahn.
I just like the name Bart, Keyshawn. Alan is my middle name, so I should know that name fairly well. So, Alan, it's rare, and I'm not sure in the history of my relationship with Keyshawn that he has ever corrected me on something, because he's never been right about anything, but he is right about this.
That's fine. I didn't mind being called Bart as long as
I'm going to keep calling you Bart. I don't care if your name is Alan or not.
It's fine with me. Whatever it is, as long as you just keep calling back on the show. So let's go. Let's play a little Too High, Too Low, and Just Right when it comes to this coaches poll that we both have acknowledged already is meaningless, but let's have fun with it anyway. Alabama at number one, Too High, Too Low, Just Right.
If they could be higher, I would make them higher, but you can't be any higher than number one.
Would you have Clemson at number two? Too high, too low, just right?
Alan, I say that slowly here. I want to make sure I got it right. I think Clemson is too high. I'm not buying Clemson this year. I think they'll lose to Georgia in the first game. And then they have really nowhere to go, because they play a rather pedestrian ACC schedule.
Alabama, you're right about that. They're right there. I mean, Bryce Young, they stole him out of our backyard at Modern Day High School in California. He goes there. Alabama's not going to miss a beat. Clemson, on the other hand, I'm not a big believer in Georgia right now, and I think you have a better understanding of where Georgia program is. I just think that Clemson, with their quarterback and what they've been able to do in terms of recruiting and retooling, is going to be interesting. Now, they've lost some coaches on their coaching staff, which could potentially create some havoc with what they want to do, but we'll see, I guess, when the season starts, right?
Well, I didn't like Keyshawn. I didn't like the way Clemson finished last season. I thought their defense was very vulnerable, and I don't think the quarterback swap is going to be that big of a deal, because they have really great wide receivers. And DJ is not Trevor Lawrence, but he's still very good. But the defense has trailed off ever so slightly the last 2 years, and I think that's their issue.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move out of the top five now. At six is Jimbo Fisher's Texas A&M team. Too high, too low, just right?
I might go a little higher. They have essentially a one-game season, and I know that they play LSU and all these other schools, but they've been talking about this one game in October now. I think it's October 9th. for a year. And that's the Alabama game. They went to Tuscaloosa last year, Alan, and lost by 28 points and still felt like they deserved to be in the playoffs. And this year they are determined to undo that. Now, I think they have a shot at Alabama. The one thing about Alabama I don't know is what Bryce Young is going to look like. I know how much he's making on the side. I know Keyshawn is still pining for him for sneaking out of SoCal. But he's going to have to do more than just make money to prove to me that he is an adequate replacement for Mac Jones.
I think Texas A&M is right about where they need to be. You talked about that 28-point loss in Tuscaloosa a year ago. If you're thinking about that this early in the season, you got more problems than that, because you shouldn't be thinking about Alabama right now. You should be thinking about the opening day game. So I think they're right about where they need to be until they meet Alabama.
Mm-hmm. How about this?
And Keyshawn, they have not identified the quarterback yet. It looks like it's going to be a young man named Haynes King, but that always makes me a little bit uncomfortable when you're a top five team and you don't know who your quarterback is on August 11th.
Let's move to this program here. They're ranked 14th, and I'm curious if you think, Paul, it is too high, too low, or just right, and that would be USC.
I'm not just playing to the masses here or the masses of one, but I think they're too low. I've seen a trend at SC over the last couple of years that this program is getting better. I like the quarterback, and I don't think the challenge in the Pac-12 is that insurmountable. So I'm going too low.
I think they're just about right. I think this is where we start off almost every single year, in that middle of the road kind of team, and we somewhat fade and prove everybody right. But I think we're right now. I just don't know if everybody's buying in quite yet. There's still some reservation.
Everybody meaning whoever.
Just everybody out west, man. We just not buying in. We got to see something. Look, we started off hot, even though it was a pandemic last year. Then all of a sudden, we losing the championship game to Oregon. I mean, it's just, you know.
So you mean everybody has, like, the program, the
players?
Yeah,
I'm talking about USC.
Yeah, you're talking about the people.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm talking about the people.
Yeah. All right, Paul, before we close.
Alan, he's too close to it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm too close to it.
Keyshawn is not objective when it comes to Southern Cal.
Yeah, no, very emotional. There's no doubt about it. Paul, let's do one more call, Paul. We have Jim in Buffalo.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Jim.
I wanted to ask Paul. How big a factor is the distribution of the playoff money and the bowl money within the conference to Texas and Oklahoma to try to get into the SEC?
Well, Jim, first of all, my condolences for living in Buffalo. But it has nothing to do with the city. It just has everything to do with the weather. My college roommate came from Buffalo, and he dragged me back there once, and I've never felt cold like that, other than the time that Keyshawn Johnson and I had dinner one night.
Wow.
It's everything. It's all about money, and I don't mean to be isolating it as a simple solution to every single thing. But they're Texas and Oklahoma are going to make so much more money getting in the SEC. The numbers are astronomical. Now, they're going to have to pay an exit fee at some point to get out of the Big 12. We just don't know how much that is, but they can afford it. The University of Texas is one of the richest schools in America.
All right, Paul, we appreciate the time. I think we got closer, you and I, now that we're on a first-name basis. That's great. And Bart Scott appreciates the fact that you started thinking of him.
Yeah.
He just texted me.
Alan, thank you very much. I will never get over the fact that I called you Bart. And Keyshawn,
yo,
it's always good to be with you. Especially the 3 or 4 weeks out of the 52-week year that you show up to work.
Will you stop? Stop setting that narrative as if I don't come to work.
All the best, Paul. That's Paul Feinbaum on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. The first time I was going to let it go. The second time I was like,
Oh, then Bart?
Yeah, well, that's all good. You know, it's fine. Little, absolutely fine.
I think he's...
So, the quarterback is always the most important player on an NFL team, but who are the most important non-quarterbacks? We'll discuss that.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Was it Revenge of the Nerds?
Was that it?
It was that guy. Where he does like this psych up speech and the guy just goes nuts.
Was it Revenge of the Nerds?
Yeah, it was a football team in that. Yeah. Yeah, I know. We don't have time to discuss it right now, but we'll explain what we're talking about as we came in. Hi, everybody. So let's do real or not real when it comes to most important players, not quarterbacks, for their teams this season. Evan, take it over.
Yeah, so the other day, Torrey Holt was on ESPN Radio Sunday Morning, basically said that the Rams will succeed if Aaron Donald leads them there.
Aaron Donald was the leader of that football team. The Rams will go as Aaron Donald goes. I know that sounds crazy to some folks because it's normally folks who say that the team will go as the quarterback goes. No, the Rams will go as Aaron Donald goes. So I feel very confident and very excited that he's back. He seems to be healthy, seems to be coming with that same energy and mojo.
Yeah, so that got me thinking. Let's go through some players, non-quarterbacks for some of these playoff contenders, and get your thoughts on if real or not real, if they are the most important non-quarterback. Start with Aaron Donald, Rams. Is he the most important player outside of Matthew Stafford?
I would say real. I think it especially on the defensive side, it starts with him. He could eat up two bodies. He could swallow three. I mean, it's his dominance is so important to that defense and Raheem Morris. Look, when you line up, the first person you need to identify on that defense is where's 99? Mm-hmm. Where's he at? Once you find that, now you can set your offense up. He is a certain guy, a certain motor, and you've only seen one or two of him type guys in the National Football League in the history of the game.
I think this is a Captain Obvious one, but I don't agree with Torrey Holt. I still think Stafford is the most important player. But we're going non-quarterback, then yeah, Aaron Donald.
Well, that's what he said. He said non-quarterback.
Yeah, great. That's what we're doing here.
Great answer, Bart.
Yeah, Bart.
Packers, Devontae Adams, real or not real, most important player outside of Aaron Rodgers?
Not real. Not real. Because Devontae Adams is going to get what he's going to get regardless of who the quarterback is. I think you got to look on the defensive side of the ball. I think you got to look at people like a Kenny Clark at the nose tackle, being able to apply pressure, doing the things that he's getting big money paid to do while he's there in Green Bay. Because you think about Chicago, what are they going to have problems at? The quarterback position. You need a guy like that to roam around and go get him. Kirk Cousins is in the division. They need to cause havoc on the defensive side of the ball. They didn't get to Tom Brady enough of that playoff game at nearly as much as they should have to cause him harm. And so I think defensively, it starts at Kenny Clark up front.
Obviously for them, defense is probably the place to go. But would Aaron Jones be maybe another name you can come up with because the running game's so important? He just got paid. I mean, Devontae's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, really, to be honest with you, Aaron Rodgers is really, outside of Aaron Jones recently, has never had a running game and been successful. So I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be successful regardless if he has Devontae Adams or Aaron Jones. Now, okay. Devontae Adams, yeah, he catches the ball. He's one of the top two receivers in the league, mm-hmm. should be paid that way. But I think Aaron Rodgers has displayed to us enough in his career that a running game helps, but it doesn't really matter.
It's not
matter.
A big part of what they do. Okay.
All right, last one. Let's do this. Browns. Myles Garrett, most important non-quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Real or not real?
Not real. Not real.
Both running backs.
I would say it's either both running backs or it's going to be Jadeveon Clowney opposite of Myles Garrett.
Now, why would you say why would it be Clowney opposite of Myles Garrett? Like,
because
why would he be more important than Myles Garrett then?
Because
we both agree the running game, though, right?
If people feel like that he doesn't have enough left in his tank and all of a sudden his motor comes on because you are now double teaming and taking away Myles Garrett, it opens up so much. Now you got both ends that you got to worry about. Imagine that. Well, you got two of them you got to worry about, not just one.
No, that part I completely agree with.
So to me, he becomes such an important part of what they are going to do on the defensive side of the ball.
But we agree that the both running backs, right, Chubb, Hunt, those guys are
important.
The most important,
important
non-quarterback on the team. What they do because what they bring. All right, everything's bigger in Texas. That includes the gap between the two NFL teams. We'll discuss next.